With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock on a Friday rainy afternoon right here on 950 KJR Headlines. Of course, I'm Softy and Dick with that, Dick. Brought to you by your friends at Buddy's. Goodies and glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
No. We'll do it live!
Mariners, game one of three against the Tribe tonight. M's 31 and 33. Kendall Graveman has not appeared in a game since the 16th of May. He's been activated off the IL, and Justin Dunn, both of them off the IL. Justin Dunn will start tonight against the Tribe, against Aaron Savali. College foosball, former Colorado quarterback Sam Noyer announcing he would transfer to Oregon State, play for Jonathan Smith. UW football getting a verbal commitment from three-star offensive lineman from Graham Kapowsin. Viga Ejuane had offers from California, USC, and Washington State. According to the 247 Sports, was the number nine player in the state of Washington. Soccer, I believe you call it football. Raul Ruiz Diaz just got done talking to Brian Schmetzer about that. Not called up for some dumbass reason by the Peruvian national team. That means he will be available and eligible for the Sounders' next match June 19th against the L.A. Jackson, L.A. Galaxy, NBA basketball, Utah up 2-0 on the Clippers after a 117-111 win last night. Milwaukee also winning last night, but the Nets still lead that series 2-1. Tonight, the Sixers at Atlanta. The Eastern semis tied at 1 at 4:30. And the Suns look for a 3-0 lead on Denver in Game 3 of the Western Conference semis in Denver at 7 o'clock tonight. NHL, Colorado, they were up 2-0 on Vegas last week, and now they're done. Losing in 6 to Vegas, 2-1 yesterday. Vegas will face Montreal in the Stanley Cup semis on Monday night at 6 p.m. You can hear that game right here on KJR. And the other semifinals, Islanders and Lightning, starting on Sunday. You'll hear that game on KJR at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. By the way, tennis. We don't talk tennis much on the radio show, mostly because we can't pronounce the players' names. French Open semifinals, Novak Djokovic defeating four-time defending champion and 13-time French Open champion Rafael Nadal to advance to the French Open final for the second year in a row. Djokovic, by the way, is looking for his second French Open championship all time. And I wasn't watching the match because I was busy getting ready for the radio show, which is a lie. I was watching TV in the sports pit. But they say it was awesome. So congratulations to Novak Djokovic and what was an incredible, incredible tennis match that got Twitter buzzing. Hey, that was fun having Brian Schmetzer in here for the first hour of the radio show. And it got me thinking, Jackson, yeah. when Dick is out, which Dick tends to do a lot because he does the Storm basketball broadcast. So there's many, many, many times where Dick is not here with us on the program.
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
And we have to fill in for him. So who would you like to next see guest host when Dick Fain is off the air? Now, Brian came in here, and let's face it, Brian's a big damn deal. Brian's not hanging out for 4 hours with us. No. All right, Brian's like, you know what? I'll do it, but I'm not going to sit there with you idiots for 4 hours. I'll give you an hour, and then I'm going home to my wife, for God's sakes, enjoying my weekend off. If you think I'm going to start my weekend off by hanging out with you schmucks, there's no way that's going to happen.
No way.
So thanks to Brian for at least giving us the hour that he gave us. Everett Fitzhugh is going to join us on the radio show on Tuesday. There's a chance we could be joined by Cam Cleland here in the next couple hours, depending on his schedule. He's also a big damn deal. So who would you like to see next as a guest host on the show when Dick Fain is no longer with us on a day where he's out, not permanently, obviously, but a day where he's not here because he's doing a Storm broadcast? So yeah. I want to know 49451.
That's a perfect text question. And you have to think about athletes with huge personalities.
Doesn't
right?
have to be athletes. Could be anybody. Anybody.
Any single person?
Any. Well, as long as they're not dead, could be anybody. I mean, we can't recreate somebody's voice. We need to have a body, a warm body. in the studio with us. So just think about it. 49451, who do you want to see guest host the radio show next time Dick is out? We're going to hear from Rick Neuheisel coming up on the radio show. There is some news, by the way, on the sports gambling front, which if you are a fan of sports gambling, and I don't know many people listening to this radio show that are not, and even if you're not a fan of sports gambling, you know why you would not be in favor of passing a law that could mean millions of dollars a year in revenue for the county, the city, the state of Washington. Look, if you're not a fan of sports gambling being passed, if you're not a fan of allowing people to gamble and put $5 on the Bruins or $10 on the Titans, then you better not be a fan of pot shops opening up all across the city and selling bongs to 18-year-old kids, okay? So there's some news on that front that I think is going to be very good for people. The Indian casinos are getting involved, and we just today got another step closer to making this a reality. So if you're a degenerate like me, hold on. We'll have some news on that for you in a matter of seconds. But joining us right now on the radio show, 1 week from today, 1 week from today, well, actually, it's 3 months from today, but 1 week from today, it's going to be 2 months and 3 weeks from today. 3 months from today, UW and Michigan will play in Ann Arbor on the 11th of September, and I thought, why wait? Why sit here and wait? Why not get the smack talk going now? Joining us right now on the radio show from the Maize and Brew website, the podcast, a part of the SB Nation. They cover Michigan football for a living. Anthony Broom is with us here on the radio show. Anthony, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great, and I got to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know if you've followed Michigan the last couple football seasons, but I don't know if I have smack to talk. It might be one-sided here. So,
well, both my parents went to Michigan and Washington, so there's a lot of smack talk happening in my family, so we can just create something out of thin air, which is what we've been doing for the last couple of seasons. But before we get to the actual football team itself and Coach Harbaugh and what the roster looks like, what is going on with Bo Schembechler and this team doctor and Bo Schembechler's son? I saw the press conference a couple days ago. For people that don't know, can you explain what the story is all about out there?
Right. So over the last, I want to say my timeline could be messed up here, but maybe over the last 18 months or so, these accusations against Dr. Robert Anderson, who worked for Michigan for, I believe, from 66 to 2003, something along those lines. Well, there's hundreds of accusations out there that he was abusing his patients. He was doing inappropriate exams. You know, there was some sexual abuse involved. And, you know, the University of Michigan has kind of, in an attempt to get out in front of it, they hired a law firm, the WilmerHale Law Firm, to run an independent investigation and put out a report of its findings of, okay, what's going on with all these accusations? What did people in power know? What did they do? And basically what the findings of this report, which were released a month ago today now, would go to show is that there are, at least as of right now, about 800 accusers, or people that have been contacted for this report, have contributed to the report, that they're in litigation, in mediation, I should say, with University of Michigan. And what they find from this report is that the football team was a part of this, in that, you know, Robert Anderson was a team doctor for the football team. Players had to get their mandatory yearly physicals through him. They would go to him for treatment. And you have players alleging that this was going on, and the investigation, you know, paints a pretty broad and pretty detailed picture of what was said and what was going on. But the crux of it is that they went to Bo Schembechler with this information and were either told to toughen up or that something would happen. You know, that they'll follow up with it and they wouldn't hear anything. So that's kind of where we're at now. In the last couple of days, again, Bo Schembechler's son, Matt Schembechler, has come out and accused, says that he was abused by Dr. Anderson, says that his father abused him when, or was violent with him and his mother when these concerns were raised to him, and his brother Glenn talks to ESPN last night and said, you know, he's not refuting what the victims are saying, but saying that his brother might not be telling the truth or the full truth or whatever it is. So I know that was kind of long-winded, but that's kind of, and there's a lot more that goes into it, but that's kind of where University of Michigan is at off the field currently.
Well, it's a mess, right? I mean, you got this stuff happening off the field, which is way more important than anything happening on the field. I think everybody would agree with that, but you got this distraction, this other story that obviously, you know, is much bigger than football. And then you have the football team, on the other hand, that is coming off a bad year. They were 2-4. They were 9-4 the year before that. They haven't won a bowl game since 2005. And people want Jim Harbaugh's head. Instead, he was extended at Ann Arbor. I mean, kind of maybe for Husky fans that are wondering about what kind of program they're going to see in the second week of the year, we're going to be going out there doing a show, a bunch of Husky fans going out there. What is the state of Michigan football right now, man?
Well, I hate to say this, being that I'm the quote-unquote maybe insider you've brought on today, but we don't really know because they didn't show us anything in spring football. The media didn't see, and obviously there was this little thing called the COVID-19 pandemic going on, but we didn't see any practices. They didn't open the doors to media or fans for the spring game. There's a lot different there. I mean, they're completely overhauling their defense. Not only just a scheme change, but going from a 4-3 or a 4-2-5 to a 3-4 defense. And, you know, there's a lot going on with that. You only have one defensive assistant back on that side of the ball. Offensively, there's been some shuffling around, but the band is mostly back together. They do have a new offensive line coach who was the tight ends coach last year, Sherrone Moore, who also was sliding over to co-offensive coordinator. But Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator, is back. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh's back. Mike Hart is back with Michigan after a bunch of coaching stops elsewhere after he was a player. So on the coaching side of things offensively, I mean, there's some new voices in there. But, again, it's, you know, this they lost a decent amount from last year. And even, you know, there were just times last year where they just didn't look ready to play like the deer in the headlights look, right? So, honestly, I mean, I don't expect them this season to be as bad as they play last year. I do think that the lack of spring football and kind of the craziness around what 2020 was probably affected them more than they let on. But like I said, if fans are looking for things to snap back to normal, like what is normal right now? Is it a 9-win season? Is it, you know, I don't know if this isn't a team that I think is a threat to win the Big Ten East, which is kind of a bummer from their perspective, given that I kind of think Ohio State might be a little bit down this year, given what they lost from last year's team. So, I mean, I think you're still looking at a team that's probably fighting for third or fourth in the Big Ten East. And, you know, if they win 8 or 9 games, and that's not going to be good enough, right? Like, that's going to be something that, you know, for as loud and as the detractors have been and for as hot as Jim Harbaugh's seat has been,
right?
And that's not going to quiet any of that if that does take place. So, when you consider the totality of that plus everything that's going on off the field right now, it's, you know, I'll stop short of saying there's an identity crisis going on, but there's a lot of questions with not a ton of answers.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Anthony. Anthony Broom is with us from MaizeAndBrew.com, covers Michigan football, who 3 months from today, the Huskies will see in Ann Arbor. I know Joe Milton's gone, and Cade McNamara, I assume, is going to be the starting quarterback. We can talk about that in a second. But, you know, should Jim Harbaugh, honestly, for a guy who hasn't won a bowl game in now 6 years, should he still be the coach of that team?
I mean, I would argue no. That's something that I was pretty open about. I wrote about, you know, coming off of last, even with the extension. He gets an extension, but, you know, his salary is cut in half. He can earn his money back if they hit all these benchmarks that happen to be the ones that they haven't hit yet under him, right? Winning the division, going to the Big Ten title game. Like I said, it's stability on paper because the buyout is essentially gone. He's making half of what he was. And I get, you know, running a coaching search, you know, this is already, you know, we talk about how the university is affected in terms of, you know, not to tie it in with the Robert Anderson stuff, but it's a university that's going to be paying out hundreds of millions of dollars of settlements to these victims of those. So is that really a university that's gearing up to make a coaching change after last year, pay a buyout, do those types of things? No. So the fact that he got an extra year is not all that surprising to me. I think if from their perspective, if you want to argue that 2020 was an outlier year, I can get on board with that as long as he comes back under the provisions, under the contract that he signed. So, you know, I think I've kind of seen enough to know how this story is going to end. But, you know, they're going to run it back one more time. And I think they have a chance to be like a good football team, but not nearly as good as they should have been, you know, 6 or 7 years into this operation.
Right. Well, I just think the idea, and again, Anthony Broom from MaisonBrew.com is with us talking some Michigan football, who the Huskies see in week two, the idea that, well, we're not going to fire Jim Harbaugh, but we're going to make him take a pay cut. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. For a top-notch Power 5 blue-blood college football program, is if that's supposed to placate people, that the guy took a pay cut. You know, you're either all in or you're all out, I think, with a head coach. And when you're making the guy take a pay cut, but he can stay on the job, that's not all in. I mean, I don't know. There's a part of that, Anthony, to me, that's ridiculous and borderline embarrassing, that what's happened to Michigan football? You either want the guy walking the sideline or you don't. And who the hell gives a damn if the guy took a pay cut? What does that mean to anybody?
Well, that's kind of how I feel about it, too. You're either in and you're out. And what Michigan's dealing with on the field through the, you know, with the football program is, you know, it's going to take a massive all-in effort to kind of get this current operation back on the tracks. And, you know, I know the pandemic, like I said, the pandemic was justification for that on their end, but I really do think that, like Jim Harbaugh, again, you say it's ridiculous, it's crazy. I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
But Jim Harbaugh is a ridiculous and crazy person, to put it mildly. I mean, the idea was that, he wants to be back, he's going to bet on himself, whatever it takes, and that's why these incentives are in the contract still. But, you know, I think the hope from his end was that, you know, yeah, I want to be at Michigan, but hopefully at least I get a couple of these NFL teams to nibble just a little bit so I can kind of increase my negotiating power.
Wow.
And that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's nonsensical.
Under the provisions.
That's wild. All right, well, Anthony Broom with us from MaisonBrew.com. It's obviously a perilous time for Michigan football, but let's talk about the team for a couple minutes. Got about 2.5, 3 minutes left here. Cade McNamara, I assume he steps in as the starting quarterback. Tell us about Cade and what Husky fans should look out for, what they should be concerned with personnel-wise when this game happens in week two.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's maybe the biggest difference so far is that usually Jim Harbaugh teams have taken this quote-unquote quarterback battle into the fall and even really up until the first snap of the first game. But coaches are pretty open about the idea that coming out of the spring, Cade McNamara is their guy. He's going to be their guy to start the year, and we'll see how well he winds up playing. You've got a five-star guy that came in this winter that's kind of pushing behind him. So we'll see how he's able to handle that. What I like about him is that, you know, in the brief moments that they were an operational offense last year, all he did was just come in, make the appropriate read, make the appropriate throw. Wasn't flashy, but just kind of did the job and ran the offense. And I know that's not exactly a sterling, you know, when you can just hit a guy in the hands that's 4 yards away from you. I know that's not the most sterling endorsement of what he can do, but that's how bad the situation was last year. So I do think with him, there's going to be kind of a back to basics approach on the offense. You know, they want to be kind of they still want to run the football, and they want to be like a West Coast spread type of offense. And for a guy that, you know, maybe he's not going to be Pat Mahomes or Baker Mayfield or whatever, but I do think that he can be a guy that makes the appropriate read, gets the ball out quickly to one of the guys they have, you know, on the outside. So
yeah,
I think they will be a functional offense with him under center, and I think that there is talent on that side of the ball. It's the defense where I just don't know, talent wise or schematics, how that is going to come together. We won't know that probably at least till that Washington game.
Who's your best player on that team? We got about 30 seconds. Who's the best player on this Michigan football team that we'll see in 3 months?
I'll give you three. One on offense, Ronnie Bell, a wide receiver. He was a former two-star guy, but sure hands, always finds himself open. has always been reliable. Defensively, Aiden Hutchinson's a guy who could potentially be a first-round pick next year coming off the edge. And Daxton Hill is a versatile safety who can play some corner, kind of has a little bit of like a Minka Fitzpatrick-type skill set to his game. So those are the three for me heading into this season.
Got it. Anthony, great stuff. And we will see you in a few months. We'll let you know where we're going to be doing the radio show, and you can stop by and buy us all drinks. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I'd love to.
You got it, man. Anthony Broom from MasonBrew.com. 3 months from today, the Dogs in Michigan in Ann Arbor to face the Wolverines. We'll be there. A lot of people asking if we're going. Hell yeah, we're going. Are we doing a radio show? Hell yeah, we're doing a radio show. Do we know where? Nope. We'll find out. And when we do, we'll pass it along. 420 on a busy Friday. We're going to hear from Rick Neuheisel coming up. A little fun with audio slash, hey, did you hear that? That's all on a busy Friday on Softy and Dick Without Dick. Right here on 950 KJR.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.